Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's the first day on the job for the MBTA's new general manager. Luis Ramirez said a bit earlier today that he was greeted with what can only be described as a typical rider experience at Heinz Convention Center.
This morning I took the green line in to work, and you know, the fare machines weren't working.
We've all been there. Well, Ramirez did take some questions from a small group of Boston journalists, including me and my colleague Kathleen McNerney, who's here in the studio now. Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Meghna.
So it's day one.
Yeah, day one, first day, really high-profile job, lots of public scrutiny, and it's really different in that respect, in many respects, from his previous experience at Siemens, GE, and Global Power Equipment. You know, saying that having the Green Line fare box not working really drove home to him that the experiences that customers are having often on a daily basis, which is why he said that one of his top priorities for the first 6 months is that he's going to be extremely customer focused.
Working with customers and making customers the center of what we're trying to do is really what I'm going to work on here. So it's very important for me to capture their voice and to drive what they're telling me and what I need to hear from them to be able to effectively do my job as a leader of the MBTA.
And as he said to the Globe last week and again today, that he's going to hire a senior customer experience executive at the T to help him do just that.
Yeah, now this is really interesting because, yes, Luis Ramirez has said he's going to be very focused on customer experience, but technically the MBTA already has a customer experience group,
right?
And improving the rider experience has been a major goal of the Fiscal Management Control Board for a while. And in fact, just last December in 2016, the T hired a chief customer experience officer, a job that sounds a lot like idea that Luis Ramirez had. And that person did report to the GM. So we asked him today, so how does his idea on focusing on customer experience differ from what's already in place at the T?
Today's my first day, so I don't know what was done before, but I will tell you that until I hire a customer service person for my staff, which I plan to do, I'm kind of doing that job myself.
Now, we should say that we spoke to Luis Ramirez, did this press conference around midday today, and afterwards, MassDOT got back to us and told us that the person who was in the customer experience office, that executive, is no longer actually with the T, the person who had been hired in December 2016, and that Luis Ramirez will, quote, be hiring someone who will work directly with him on customer service, and that position's job description will be written this week in consultation with Mr. Ramirez and other T officials.
Right, so the question that we'll be looking at is how that position does or doesn't change and what it actually means for customers. The devil's always in the details. But, you know, this still appears to be one of the core principles for Ramirez. He brought it up time and time again. In addition to riding the rails and the bus lines today, he says that over the past few weeks, he's visited a lot of the T facilities, and he said that he's really a hands-on manager.
You'll see me out there quite a bit. I really want to get to know every site. I'm the kind of guy that really likes to walk the shop, and that's why I learn about the organization, and that's what I'm going to be doing.
So he'll really be the public face of the T to both employers and customers, which is really great. It also reminded me about the last publicly traded company that he led, Global Power Equipment Group in Texas.
Right, because as we were the first report here, shortly after Luis Ramirez left that company in 2015, Global Power said that it found some major accounting errors in its books, and it ended up having to resubmit financial filings to the SEC for the years 2011 through 2014, and three of those years and Luis Ramirez was there between 2012 and 2015. Now those errors, some of them came before Ramirez's time at Global Power, for folks catching up to this part of the story, but they also continued throughout his tenure. And as a result, Luis Ramirez is still facing a shareholder lawsuit from shareholders of Global Power, and the SEC is also investigating what exactly happened. So a lot of financial challenges at Luis Ramirez's former company, maybe even bankruptcy, which is interesting because today, once again, when questioned, the MBTA's new GM really defended his record as being a turnaround specialist, and he defended his time at Global Power.
Well, when you're doing a turnaround, it's not just about the numbers. It's also about creating systems and processes that actually identify issues and help to improve the process long term. So as I said before, I can't really comment on that because of the litigation that's going on, but I will say that I stand behind my record, and the growth and the things that we achieved were achieved as a result of all the things that we did while I was there.
No, Kathleen, we should say that the reason why he said that is because I had asked, he talked about how Global Power's revenues had gone up
right.
while he was there. But if you look further down their balance sheet, their net income went way down and their earnings per share for shareholders also went way down. But then, you know, about what he knew and didn't know as CEO of Global Power, I directly asked him today. And here's what I asked.
And just for clarity's sake, did you know about the accounting issues that were Global Power was having while you were CEO?
No, I did not.
So, I mean, again, he's facing a lawsuit and an SEC investigation. But it's interesting because, Kathleen, as you were just saying, he talks about himself as a really hands-on manager. So it's kind of a couple different sides of this issue.
And I think that's the big question that we're grappling with. And hopefully the SEC can get to the bottom of is that, you know, there's allegations in this lawsuit that he was very hands on. So and he's here today saying that he's that type of boots on the ground type of manager. So, you know, the big question is, if you're that involved, how did you not know that this was going on? Did you just trust the people underneath you? And I think those are some of the questions that we're hopefully going to find out in maybe the months ahead.
Yeah, exactly. But then, you know, he did talk about how he's bringing a lot of his, well, the totality of his private sector business experience to the MBTA.
Right. And I was really struck by the type of language that he used and this lens that he's bringing to the T. You know, it's a sign of his experience at a lot of these big companies. Here's just one example. When he was talking about his commute this morning, we mentioned the fare machines at Heinz were down. And here's what he said.
That really indicates to me firsthand what are some of the experiences that customers are actually having and why it's so important that we bring their kind of experience into how we operate the business, how we set the metrics up for the business and the teams, and how we also drive the changes that we got to make.
Now, look, no one's going to deny that customer service and customer experience is important. But, you know, there's still this long-term question. And some people, when he was first named, were concerned that he didn't have that much experience in public sector services and public sector goods.
Yeah. And I think you hear, you know, him talking about the business and the metrics. And maybe that is just what the T needs at this moment is an outsider looking in, but also needs sort of the depth of knowledge about transit systems as a whole.
Mm. Well, he also talked about how he really wanted to address reliability issues at the T. I mean, this is all great for writers to hear, underlying problems at the T. And he wanted to bring, you know, a lot of solutions or a lot of fixes to the T with speed. And here's how he said he might accomplish that.
And innovation, technology, creativity, and those type of things are going to really play a role as I look at the long-term objectives of the MBTA.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really different language and focus than what we've heard from other GMs in the past.
But the governor did say he wants a turnaround CEO, right?
So in that respect, it's not all that surprising. And you know, I think Governor Baker prides himself on being very detail-oriented and sort of focused on the inner workings and of the government.
Yeah. So, Kathleen, we've been following this story for a long time.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, obviously the T is a huge organization with a lot of problems. But as we were just saying a little earlier, one of the concerns is that this new GM, Luis Ramirez, doesn't have any experience in transit whatsoever. But as to whether or not he can turn it around, I mean, just yesterday on the show, we were talking about a private sector-led turnaround at Bridgewater State Hospital that's wildly successful right now. I mean, they're accomplishing great things there in just a course of 5 months. So I'm not sure it's necessarily like, can a private sector person pull this off? Because we're seeing that turnarounds can happen right at Bridgewater
right,
State.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big question and tension is that it's possible, but I think people are worried because the public transit is such a different animal. And I think that a lot of people want somebody who really has the depth of knowledge and experience. It's Ramirez's first day. Maybe he can get up to speed. Maybe he's a quick study. And I think we'll have to give him the benefit of the doubt, and we'll see starting on Monday when he goes to the Fiscal Management Control Board meeting.
Yeah. I mean, so at Bridgewater State, we have someone right there right now leading it who technically works for a private company, but she has like 20 years of experience in that field of services for people suffering with mental illness. They also had a lot more money given to them by the legislature.
Right.
And every important stakeholder came together and said, we got to fix this problem. At the T, there's always a debate over whether or not they need more money. The stakeholders are often at each other's throats.
Yeah.
And again, Luis Ramirez has never worked on transit, so he's got quite a mountain to climb in front of him.
It's a tall order, and there's a lot of public scrutiny. So
yeah.
We'll see.
We're just doing our jobs, folks. Kathleen McNerney, Radio Boston producer, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Meghna.
All right. Well, sitting quietly and patiently next to you, Kathleen, is the marvelous Evan Horowitz. He writes the quick study column for the Boston Globe, and he's with us now. Hi there, Evan.
Hey, Meghna. How are you?
And you've also covered the Luis Ramirez story as
I
well.
I have, which is why it's taken all my restraint not to jump in.
So jump in now.
Well, no, I just love the idea that sort of turning this around involves innovation, technology, and creativity. That's the kind of trio that gets you a failing grade at a business school. You know, we need something more detailed than that. And I guess I'm just still sort of waiting.
We're waiting. Yes. I mean, again, he did say multiple times that this is his first. Mr. Ramirez said this is his first day in a sector he's never worked in.
I do agree that, right, it's not necessarily a private sector, public sector thing. It does happen. You get people who are great lights in the private sector who turn out to be great lights in the public sector. Sometimes you get a Mike Bloomberg. Other times you get a Donald Trump. And you don't know. Which is going to be the question isn't so much a private sector, public sector crossover. It's about competence and ability, and that's what we're waiting to see. And, you know, I've never met the man. I did read through incredible reports of his time at Global Power, and I was disturbed by them.
Well, right. I mean, and you're not the only one. Lots of people we've spoken to found what happened at Global Power troubling. And just you're writing about something else, Evan. I'm going to get to that in a second. But also, it just occurs to me that Luis Ramirez has another particular challenge. He's surrounded by at least three people who've had his job before, two on the Fiscal Management Control Board. Dan Grabowski is coming back in to sort of set things straight at Commuter Rail. He's got a very knowledgeable Secretary of Transportation in Stephanie Pollack, and of course Governor Baker, who has strong ideas of what he wants. So like he's got 100 bosses. That can't be easy for him.
No, I don't envy him that, and that may be one of the reasons that the search has been so difficult to find the right person who wants to take a job, a very high profile job, where your autonomy and authority is limited by so many other bosses. But he's jumped for this job, so I think we should measure him on his ability to do it.